Good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and do we have an amazing show for you today? Our guests are here to provide you with a lot of information, a lot of positivity, tips, strategies, tools that you can use to be able to improve your life in this time of crisis. And so we have all of our guests here today. I'm going to start with our introductions. Our first guest is a personal friend of mine. I love her to death. I said, I love her to life. Let me just say that. That sounds much better. Good morning, Andrea. Andrea Cruz. Andrea Cruz is a mind, body, heart, soul therapy coach, and she has an MA in humanistic holistic psychotherapy. Good morning, Andrea. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Pleasure to be back. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Every time you're here, it's a pleasure. And so we're going to learn a little bit more about you. We're going to introduce our next guest. Our next guest is Mr. Derek Ware. Derek is the CEO and president of Possess the Land Homeless Situations. And he started with nonprofits at the age of 14. Good morning, Derek. How are you? Derek, are you with us? You got that mute on?
Let's see.
I got you, Derek. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I am wonderful. It's a pleasure. TGIF. It's Friday, the last show for this week. It has been an emotional week, but we are going to have fun today. Our next guest is Mr. Edward Phillip, also a wonderful friend of mine. I love Edward to life, and Edward is going to bring us some tips on how we can deal with this emotional situation. Good morning, Edward. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am wonderful. It's been so beautiful this week here in Southern California with all the sun and warm temperatures. We've been outside gardening and walking and just loving being together with my wife.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And I love the way you said, good morning, Sharifa. It sounded almost like, good morning, Vietnam. I was just waiting for that part.
I love that movie.
I know.
How
Oldie
can you
but goodie.
make comedy out of such a situation? But Robin Williams did.
Yes, I love Robin Williams. I miss him. So we are going to have a lot to discuss today. We have our next guest, Mr. Daryl Holt. Good morning, Daryl. How are you?
I'm doing excellent.
You
Good
just look
morning.
chill, like you're chilled back. He's like, I'm doing excellent
Oh
today.
yeah, always. You got to stay relaxed no matter what.
Yes,
When you
yes.
tense up, you don't use as much as your brain and as much as your access to all of yourself. But yeah.
Yes. And so we have holistic practitioners. We have people who are going to deal with the emotional aspect. We have Derek there with the nonprofit. And then guess what? We're going to talk a little bit about business as well. Our next guest, Nathan Elson, is the executive director of CDF Capital. Good morning, Nathan. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Oh, I appreciate you joining me. It's going to be a wonderful show. We're going to learn a lot. We're going to laugh a lot, and we're going to see what we can do to help the world. And so I want to get started. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go back to my girl. I'm going to talk to Andrea. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, thank you very much, Sharifa. And like I said, it's a pleasure to be back, especially during these times where we have no choice but to get online and share with each other our mindset and our viewpoints and our experiences through this very interesting time. So my background is, first of all, I'm a human being. I sometimes help people in the sense of being a psychotherapist. Being holistic, I look at various perceptions, various aspects of the self. I don't just stay in the mind. I'm also encompassing the whole person, the mind, body, heart, soul, the spiritual aspects, the health aspects, the physical aspects, the emotional aspects, and the mental aspects, and how we can integrate all of those things and give someone an opportunity to really reflect and really move towards health and wellness. So that's a little bit about myself. I also host retreats up in Big Bear of a psycho-spiritual and holistic nature. As soon as the quarantine ends, I'm sure we'll be having another one. It isn't quite set in stone yet. I have a website, andreacruz.net, that you can seek me out for. I'm doing free COVID-19 sessions for 20 minutes to help people overcome some of their trauma during this time. And there's so much more that I'd love to share with you, but I think that should be good for now.
No, we want to share some more. We have questions. We want to ask questions. Okay, so you talked about your you go to the woods. You have these mm-hmm. sessions. How is it like? What's the difference like now for you? Because you're quarantined. You can't go in there. You can't take anyone anywhere. So what has been this transition been like for you?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been taking private phone calls, doing a lot of telehealth, as we call it, which is Zoom or FaceTime or phone calls, where I'm engaging with somebody where they're at. I've talked with a couple of people who have known somebody or has been close to, catching the illness. And we talk about their health. We talk about what type of supplements that they're taking. We also work towards some of their trauma. A lot of times right now, which is really fascinating, is a lot of things are coming up from childhood because people are being forced to be less distracted with their busy lives. And they're forced to be with their family members or their loved ones. There's a lot of emotional tension coming up. And so, we're working through that trauma. We're working through those childhood aspects or even the current aspects of the time, talking about feeling stuck or claustrophobic. And we put together a plan that is individualized for each person. So some person's wellness plan maybe to be doing more yoga at home. People still have access to walking in their neighborhoods and sometimes even in nature because their backyard is connected with the forest or hills and or even the desert. And so we're creating these individualized plans with homework, obviously, with reflective type homework, so that afterwards, we have something to talk about, we have something to dig in, and it gives people an opportunity to really heal. I've had some amazing phone calls, follow-up phone calls from some of my friends and clients and family members saying, oh my gosh, that one session with you really helped put things in perspective for me. And I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm taking things in stride. So, and I don't know if it's my introverted nature, but I mean, a part of me, I'm kind of loving being indoors. I'm kind of loving spending time at home and working from home, but that's my perspective. For extroverted people, that might not be their perspective, but I'm pretty adaptable in that way. In the sense that we have to do things that make us feel good, like going for bike rides. I'm really enjoying that right now, or going for a little hike around my neighborhood. It's just been a pleasure to do so. Everyone's at a different place, so I want to honor and respect everyone's path and journey and see, what things they can do to adjust to this time frame, because it's not permanent. It isn't going to last forever.
Absolutely, words to live by. And we're going to come back to you a little bit later and talk about the free session, because what we're here to do is to offer people as much help, much guidance as we can. So we're going to talk about that. One of the things that I've seen on social media is where I've seen people who have this incubation period where all of a sudden there's a lot of creativity, a lot of things that happen. And then there are other people who say, if you don't feel that creative vibe, if you don't have that inner energy and you just want to relax, you just want to chill, you just want to sleep, because there are many people, we're used to working from home. I've been working from home for years, but there are people who may have been going to their job for the last 30 years or 40 years, 20 years, or even 10 years. And for them to actually be at home moments like, wait a minute, I just need to breathe. I need to take some time off. But people have been coming up with creative ideas, mm-hmm. which brings me to my next guest, Daryl. One of the things that, we discussed and one of the reasons I wanted Daryl to be a guest on the show was he was telling me, he's like, Sharifa, part of this, I took a new leap. So I want to talk about that, Daryl, your new leap and your new transition as a result of everything that's going on with COVID-19.
Yeah. So recently I started group meditations. For the longest time I've been in sales, you know, I was a sales trainer. I like just last year I was sent out to Texas to train 150 employees on sales and product knowledge. And then I found out, you know, it was a different experience. But after that was over, you know, it was a trip to the underworld. I found out it was pretty negative. And so what I did was I went to a retreat, and it was Andrea's retreat, and it kind of got me back into meditation. But just recently I had had some validation on, okay, you can go forward, you meditation is going to be one of the most important things in these times. So I started a meditation group, and I have different guests alternating all the time. I have different speakers. 2 days ago, Andrea was the host of that episode. And then yesterday was me. And then tonight is Keon. Keon's going to be leading music. Keon the Experience is what his Instagram name is. But yeah, Keon the One. Yeah.
Okay. So again, I just love your vibe. I love your energy. You're just so chill. And I can give people a hard time because these are all my friends. So I know how you are, but you make it sound so easy. You make it sound like, oh yeah, I was just sitting there. I decided to create this group. I mean, so many people wouldn't have any idea on how to create a group. What was that process like for you? Was it as easy as it appears to be?
For me, so because I'm from a sales background, and I also come from like a little bit, I did network marketing a little bit, and I learned from that. I learned how to get people to an event. And mm-hmm. I treat it like it's a physical event. So I'm messaging like 100 people, like 150 people, sometimes 200 people, letting them know, hey, I have this event going on. Mm-hmm. I want you to tune in. I want you to get involved. And I'll get close friends. I'll hit up family. I'll hit up old family. I'll you know, just invite everybody that I can, because I know that it takes about 50 to 100 times more effort to get something done than mm-hmm. we ever expected to. So because with that knowledge, I'm just like, okay, well, this is something that I want to happen. So I have to make it happen. No one else is going to do it.
Yes. And I know. Go ahead.
And I know that it's so important that we get in tune with ourselves, that we align ourselves, you know, to some type of like group meditation is more effective, because it's like it says in the Bible, where two or more gather, there I shall be. You know, two or more gather in my name, there shall be. And I just think of it that way. It's like the more people get involved, the more likely it's going to have the presence of God.
Amen. I think that was so beautiful. So when is your next group meeting?
Tonight, 8:45.
Okay. 8:45, and where can people find you?
I actually share the link on my Facebook.
Okay.
So it's going to be on my Facebook. So if anybody wants to tune in, just look up Daryl Hulse II, and it's a picture of me with the Griffin Observatory in the background.
Okay. So have to check out that at 8:45 this morning. I love when people are actually making things happen. You're going out messaging, you're going out doing the work. One of the things that I learned when I first started doing my radio shows is I would make these posts on Facebook and I would say, I need guests, I need guests, I need guests, and no one would answer me. And then I would message people and I would say, would you like to be a guest? And people would say, oh my God, I can't believe you thought of me. And I'm like, why not just respond to the post and be a guest? But people need that personal message and that personal attention. So I love it. I love what you're doing. I love the meditation. I love the retreat. I love that feel good feeling. So we're going to go step away from that for a moment. I'm going to talk to Nathan, and I wanted you to be here on the show because, again, we're talking a lot about emotions. We're talking a lot about feelings, but then we also have a lot of business owners who are going through it as well. Nathan, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do and what you do.
Sure. So I've been working in marketing and business development for about 25 years. And the organization I work for right now is CDF Capital. We focus on providing financial and leadership resources for churches around the United States. So we work with a lot of independent and non-denominational churches. And we are a lender. So we compete with banks and with other financial institutions when it comes to providing funding for churches and nonprofits to acquire property, start their businesses. So we've worked with a lot of universities, a lot of camps, a lot of those type of facilities. Our big distinction is that we work primarily in the religious nonprofit space. And so what we've seen in the coronavirus era, for lack of a better word, is a really interesting shift. We went to crisis mode pretty quickly once the news broke and it saw that a shutdown was imminent. And we took some very strong measures in our own organization, sent everyone home. We did our infrastructure so everyone can work from home and those type of things. But over the past 4 weeks, we've seen a very interesting trend occur. And that trend focuses mostly around how the economy has not recovered or that nature, but it hasn't hit as hard as everyone thought it would. And just a story real quickly for that is we've launched a program for all the churches that have loans with us, where we're giving them a third off of their payments for the next 6 months. And it's just proactive measure on our part to make sure that part is just stabilized. We have over 200 churches with loans, and we've had, since we launched the program, over 30 churches come back to us and decline the assistance. And the reason why they decline the assistance is they are either already stable enough to weather the storm, or their giving has actually gone up. And so what I found really fascinating, talking to local business owners, friends of mine that are business owners, especially here in Southern California, is that the community is actually really rallying around the businesses and the different pieces of the community in ways that are new. And there's a lot of innovation going on. There's family-owned restaurants who have seen an increase of people buying food from them, even though they wouldn't come in previously. They don't want to see that restaurant go out of business. So there's been folks rallying around those type of things. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna give you encouragement out there who's listening, who's in business or who's business owner, that the fact that the national conversation with President Trump last night talking about what reopening looks like, the fact that a lot of business analysts are saying, okay, we kind of figure out what life is like now during this time, what's life out next. Even us in our business, we are having the conversations of how can we help the churches that we had to help go from live services, these big gatherings, to doing everything online. What does that transition look like from that going back, and how is that going to impact them economically, impact us economically, and impact those that invest with us to make those financing happen? And it's really just an interesting conversation, because it really is almost a roller coaster from day to day. The emotions and the mindset of those we work with ebbs and flows. But I think one thing that I've seen more than I expected to was people being determined and people being hopeful and finding new ways, like Daryl, to do something new and different, and Andrea to innovate what they're doing in order to provide services, whether they be paid or free. And I just think that's really interesting to see how different this is than the slowdown that happened in 2008, the Great Recession. So I think it's a very different type of crisis, very different type of economic environment we're in, and a very different business environment where there's a whole lot more opportunity for innovation and change. And we're trying to, as an organization, be part of that as well.
Well, I love it. And it's interesting that your focus is on churches, because churches, I think, is the one organization that has really been focused on in the media. You know, most businesses, restaurants, they're like, okay, the government says close, we close. They had to close down the beaches. You know, here in Long Beach, we love the beach. I'm about, you know, a 10-minute walk to the beach. So, you know, and it's so interesting, because I know Andrea's in Long Beach, Derek's in Long Beach, Edward's in Long Beach, not sure about Daryl, but we're all beach people. This is what we do. Those were closed down. But then you have the churches, and I live right across the street from a church, and these are the different organizations where they're like, you know what, we're not going to close, or we're going to find a different way to do it. The church across the street from me, they closed. The pastor started doing his sermons on Facebook Lives, realized that doing a sermon from home didn't give him the same kind of effect that he had in the church. Now, every Sunday, him and I would say approximately 6 or 7 people, you know, they have this church service that they stream on Facebook Live. Did you see in working with the churches more of this, you know, I'm trying to find a kind way of saying they want to do things more their way as opposed to saying, let me just go this way?
There's been a lot of churches that were very slow to do it. And we did a survey of churches across the United States, and we found that only about 30% of churches still had services after the stay-at-home orders were put in first week. And that went down. So there's about almost 10 to 15% of churches that are still meeting.
Right. That's what I was saying.
And a lot of it has to do with just beliefs on community and those type of things. But a lot of the churches, especially here in Southern California, have been very innovative in how they're doing things, providing services for the communities, helping businesses out, providing opportunities. There's churches that have helped local businesses out by buying excess food or things and distributing it in partnership with them for the communities. I think that really the biggest thing is that it's just, it's good to see the church being on the forefront of innovation during this time. Whereas in years past, the churches have lacked, or the churches have lacked and kind of fell into, this is the way we've always done it, this is how it's always gonna be.
Right.
They were forced to think differently, more so than other businesses in a lot of ways. So I think it's really important that if people need help, there's the church is still there, and there, and most churches still have the ability. You can make a phone call, you can go to a website, you can reach out to somebody. And the funniest thing, especially with the millennial generation, is there's been a whole lot more phone calls that have happened for businesses and nonprofits than ever before. And that was one of the biggest pieces of advice we gave almost anyone that came to us for advice, was call your people, call the people that support you. Don't send them an email. Don't hope they find you on the website. Don't worry about like doing it. Get in the phone, pick up the phone and call them. And because video conferencing is fantastic, but a phone call is a little more intimate because it's not as common these days. And so that's been a great piece of advice we've been able to give, not just the churches and nonprofits we work for, but anyone who's come to us for advice in this time.
I know when you're afraid and you're wondering if the world is going to hell in a handbasket, you would love a call from your pastor, your preacher, your imam, whatever your belief system is. So let's move over to Derek. Derek, you have a nonprofit. We're talking a little bit about churches and nonprofit. How is it that, you with me, Derek? Tell us a little bit about Possess the Land Homeless Situations.
Well, I started Possess the Land Homeless Solutions back when I was homeless. I was going through a lot of different bureaucracies of finding housing, finding services. And so I started researching on the best services, the best solutions to getting housing, to overcoming addictions, to finding employment. And so I put this research together, and I basically say, you know what? I built this plan. I was able to get housed in 2 weeks and able to get a job in a week later and able to kick addictions. So I said, you know, other people can use this same type of pathway. And so that's what I did. I put it together, created a mission statement, and, you know, it's been kind of rocky because I wasn't getting funding. I basically was like cleaning car windows and things like that. But I used to always offer full service for people at gas stations for free. So that's what we do with Possess the Land. Certain gas stations we work with are volunteers, which is formerly homeless people or people that's in transition to finding permanent housing. We offer free full services at gas stations, free moving services for the elderly and seniors, custodial building maintenance for landlords. And so that's what we do at Possess the Land Homeless Solutions. We also have conflict resolutions classes, relapse prevention, and Possess the Land. We also manage sober livings that's not really on the forefront of understanding the cycle of addiction. So we go in, we create outcomes and evaluations for these landlord owners of transitional homes, and we go in, we manage them, and we help their clients reach, you know, their goals.
Oh, wow, I love it. When did you initially create your nonprofit?
It was last year.
Okay, so last year, so it's relatively new. So between 2019 and 2020, what are some of the adjustments and changes that you made as a nonprofit in order to assist people when the majority of the people are quarantined?
Yeah, that's the thing, because we deal mostly with homeless people. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of them is not quarantined. A lot of them suffer from trauma of the word home. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of things that happen to them at home, so they're scared to go inside, they're scared to go into shelters, and then you got some of them that's still in their addiction. Mm-hmm. So we do outreach, we go out, you know, a team of us go out and we do outreach to them. We still, you know, make contact with them, we still feed them every Thursday. And every Sunday, we still feed, and we just share with them service resources and services, masks, anything that we can do to help uplift them, to help them come up out their situation. We try to do a lot of contacts with them, and then a lot of them, you know, after, you know, 13 or 14 contacts, they say, you know what, I'm ready to come into services.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I applaud you. I mean, I know that's not easy at all, and you've overcome a lot to be able to do what you're doing. I've seen you go from being very emotional and passionate, but then you also have this side where you're sitting there praying for people and you're restoring their faith and saying, you know what, you can do it, keep going. So I definitely applaud you. I hope that, I don't want to say I hope, but I see a lot more happening for you and doors opening up for you in the future. So let's see what we can do to assist you. We talked about how they feel and the different emotions. I want to go over to Edward real quick. One of the reasons I wanted to have Edward on the show is because Edward wants to assist everyone. He's going to tell us a little bit about himself, but he's also going to walk us through a technique we can all use in this time of crisis. Edward, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Sharifa. I'm going to start with something actually done instead of talking about me. So if everybody just does this, everybody on the show, go ahead and do this. I'll talk about it while we do it. So
this is what we're doing.
When we are challenged, you'll tap on the meaty part of the hand with the other hand. You don't have to tap hard, just tap maybe once every second. And this comes out of thought field therapy. And an interesting thing is that when we're challenged, and keep tapping, our meter, our actual meter of voltage will go over into a negative polarity. And normally we bounce back into positive really quickly. So tap under the nose now. And I'll keep talking, but I won't tap there so you can hear me cleanly. And so what happens if we do this is we take ourselves from that challenge position or that unresourceful position, and we take ourselves back into a positive position. And this is true for our speech, for our ability to use our nutrition, for our ability to use our vitamins, for our psychological resourcefulness. Now tap on the other hand on that same karate chop point. And so if you just do this a few times a day, you'll notice that you're more resourceful and you're more able to just meet the challenges of life.
Okay.
We all need tools. Mm-hmm. We got a whole bunch of guys on the call today, and I know they love tools. And Andrea has just all kinds of psychological tools that she uses all the time. And when she
I love your tapping though. That's cool. It's enjoyable.
Thank you. So if we use these things, then we have the ability to take care of ourselves. And like she was telling us about giving the people yoga and other things to do, it's so important to know some things to do. When all this stuff came up, I started going live on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Now, I had not done one live. I just didn't feel like it was my place, or I didn't really want to do that. But that was where my biggest audience was. There are 5,000 people. I'm always trying to adjust it, get rid of the people that I haven't ever seen in those 5,000, or I've only seen 2 years or 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always bumping up against 5,000. So there were 5,000 people, all of whom had connections, and mm-hmm. every one of them needed a tool to work with, to work on their emotions. So where do I come from in all of this? I'm a Renaissance man. I've learned a little bit of everything. I was a biology major. I went to Japan. I speak Japanese. I was in the bicycle industry at one form of welding that you'd use to put super high quality tandem bicycles together. And so I always try to master whatever I'm in. And so when I first heard about tapping years ago, and the first form of tapping I heard about was emotional freedom technique, EFT. You can find tons of things about EFT on the internet. I love to send people to Brad Yates because he has probably 1,000 videos that are mostly under 8 minutes, all on an issue or teaching you how to tap. And emotional, I won't do any of that right now because I'll do my own thing. But that got me inspired to work on myself. This was probably 20 or 25 years ago. And I started using it. Then I got exposed to hypnosis, and I eventually became a hypnosis. So you're talking about groups that have been put together. Bill Bengston is a wonderful energy healer. He's the only guy that's got scientific studies showing cures of mice of cancer, mice that are bred to die. You know, they all die at 17 to 21 days. And after using his technique with these mice in college studies organized by the heads of departments, the mice would live on for a year or 2 years. And they could inject them with cancer and they wouldn't even come back. But he had come into town from all over the country and all over the world. They come to Los Angeles because that's where his training was. There were 80 people who were going to take his training.
And so that's where you started?
Friday afternoon. No. Well, that's where I started with Bengston. That's where I started with Bengston. But so they canceled it on Friday afternoon because all of this was happening. So mm-hmm. I formed a study group. Mm-hmm. Just like other people formed groups just out of the need right now, I wanted to learn this badly enough that I formed a study group. And now 5 weeks in, I technique because some of the people in the study group are energy practitioners. They've been using this for a couple of years. And it's amazing. You would think that a bottle of water would not carry any extra benefit. But if you charge that bottle of water or cotton, they can have the same kind of benefit that actually doing an energy session in person does. And so it's really amazing how you connect with people.
It's a lot of information.
So,
There's definitely a lot of information. You had us tapping. We were doing the hands. I think we were, I was at least, I don't know about anybody else. I think everybody else is on mute right now, but somebody, you know, joined my choir. Like I was doing the tapping. I was doing the little, you know, all of this, but I don't know if I was doing it right. I don't know how long I was should do it. I don't know what the benefit it was giving me. Can you tell me that, Edward?
Well, simply when you're doing this, tap at least 20 times on each point. So you're tapping on the karate chop point 20 to 50 times. Mm-hmm. You choose. Mm-hmm. If you're really in distress, tap 50 times. Mm-hmm. Under the nose for 50, mm-hmm. the other hand for 50.
So what does that do to me? What is that on the results is that is going to give me?
If you ever use this with a group, the whole group becomes completely focused on you. All of the side chatter goes away mm-hmm. as we calm and focus. And literally, if you put somebody on a multimeter and mm-hmm. you set it on the right voltage to be able to read our electrical systems in our body, which mm-hmm. we all have, it will go from negative into the positive. And when you go into the positive, we're just, I don't know, there's something about it. We're just better people.
I love it. We definitely want to be better people. That's what we're striving for and providing people with ways for all of us to be better people. I want to go back over to Nathan for a minute. Absolutely. Nathan, you talked about finances. You talked about the churches. You talked about nonprofits. Now, from a personal perspective, what was this transition like from you? Because you're calm. You make it sound so easy. What was this like for you?
Well, I have an advantage. I do a lot of traveling for work. And so me and my teams are already set up to work remotely because I was traveling. So for me, it was actually rather nice because I was gone 6 of the first 9 weeks of this year. So I was traveling quite heavily at the beginning of this year. So I went from that to no traveling. So it's been nice to be home, be with my family, my wife and our 2 teenage kids. It's been really, really peaceful in that sense. The biggest difficulty for us is that we all are now from home. My wife's a professor at OCC. My kids are both in school and doing online school. So that's the biggest challenge is finding a quiet place during the day to have conversations. And so my wife and I kick each other out of our office. One of us has an important call to make. But it's really fascinating to see how our teams have. So one thing that we put in place is that we have a morning call every morning with our in-office team via Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatever tool we're using. And we just talk. We don't have any agenda on it. We give a general update about how the business is doing. But we did that to help transition a lot of the folks who had a lot of the socialization from being in the office together. And we've had employees that have been part of the organization for almost 30 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
They've had 30 years of being in the office, and this is the first time they haven't been. And so we took a lot of measures to kind of close that gap and provide the socialization and provide the different tools we could in order to decrease the anxiety of working from home and the difference for it. And it's been really effective for us. And so we actually didn't have a single drop off at all in the services that we could provide. And because of that, we've been able to help other organizations kind of through it as well, just by offering them advice and kind of giving the roadmap that we created for that. So for me, it wasn't that big of a deal, but my wife and I were joking this morning that when the kids were in school, we're both working and busy, we're up and about by 6 o'clock in the morning. And now an hour later, we're like, why do we have to get out of bed this early? So even in the morning at home, we've adjusted that sense of things. So it was easy transition for us, although we know it wasn't an easy transition for a lot of folks to go at, especially those that whose jobs really depended upon the face-to-face interaction with other folks in the retail sector, mm-hmm. the restaurant sector.
What are some of the, you mentioned that you had tools that you were able to help other businesses with. What are some of those tools?
So we have a couple of things that we created. One was a crisis planning tool that we have that we are able to put together. We have someone who runs our foundation who put together this three facets of crisis planning. And so there's just a step through of like what happens during a crisis, and here's what you can do, and here's a tool that you can use for your business, your nonprofit, to help with that. But you also use it in your own personal life as well. So we've developed those type of things. We helped different businesses with their infrastructure and advice on how to go online with meetings, how to run online meeting, how to do things. We just connected people with resources that existed out there in ways that were, that are natural and easy, and just provided advice along the way
for them. Oh, that's really valuable.
Yes, Andrea, what are some of the tools you've been able to offer? Because like I said, I wanted to go back to your free COVID-19 session. What is that session? What does that look like? How long is it? Do you have to go every day, every week? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, I really liked what Nathan said right now about creating a crisis plan. I think more than ever, people are really needing to find their own routines that is outside of the world that we have currently been. You know, people are used to waking up in the morning and getting out, having their breakfast, maybe not eating breakfast at all, and going on the road and, you know, working, maybe grabbing something over there. But now that people have more time on their hands, whether it be because they don't have any work at all, or because now they have to work from home, it's people can tend to get a little claustrophobic. They can feel a little stifled in their own space. So the more that people can establish their own routine, their own schedule, their own way of being. Maybe you don't need a schedule at all. Maybe you just need some free time, and that's absolutely okay. But getting the things that you love, enjoying your own playtime. And when's the last time that you as an adult heard about having a playtime or your own play date at home? Like, what is it that you enjoy? Do you need to pick up your guitar and play a little bit more? Do you need to color a little bit in the day to get yourself in a zen state? Do you need to go ahead and go for a jog around the block? And making that and incorporating that in your daily routine is really awesome. That's why I really love what Daryl is doing, because he's such the extrovert. Like I tend to be both ambivert and extrovert, but he's just like, no, I'm going to get on these Zoom calls every day. And I was like, are you serious? You're going to be doing that every single night. But now I incorporated that in my routine, and, you know, I'm showering before the Zoom call and making myself look cute because we're going to be on live with other people. You know, it's forcing me to do a little bit more self-care routine. And we're meditating as a group together, and we're interacting and we're socializing, and it's so much fun. And I just want to attest, he really is that zen. Like when all of the COVID-19 and the panic set in for people in Long Beach, he was just like, no problem. I'll go to the grocery store. No worries at all. You can unmute yourself, babe, if you want to chime in on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So when everybody was afraid, I know that being in fear is such a heavy burden on the body and on the soul itself, that I know you can't just put yourself in that state and leave yourself there, right? I remember reading, like, you know, 5 to 20 books on neurology and on quantum physics and on the mechanics of the self, and what I learned was, like, you can't just put yourself in a negative state, because when you're in a negative state, you only use about a third of your brain. At least from the information I read, it's a 30 of brain is just working and the rest of it's inactive because you're in survival mode. So that's the only part of your brain that's being utilized. Absolutely. And so from that, I was like, dude, I can't put myself in that fear, because then it's going to affect my immune system. I can't have a compromised immune system and then go out into the world and do something. I decided, all right, I'm going to face it head on. Mm-hmm. Everything everyone's afraid of, I won't give into the fear. You know, I'm going to take the necessary steps, right? I had the gloves, you know, now I have the mask. But, you know, I don't live my life based on fear. I don't, I also don't live my life based on scarcity, you know? So if there's a possibility of something being there, I'm going to go and find out if it's there.
And I think, you know, he's really hitting the nail right on the head when it comes to empowerment. It's really about feeling empowered during this time. How is it that you are empowering yourself that you can succeed? Before, we had set a lot, I mean, as a society, our mindset based on what we're accomplishing in the world and what success look like as far as, you know, getting this monetary. But I find success as, how peaceful is your state of being? How healthy do you feel? What, in what ways can you still give back to the community without necessarily having to you know, see people face to face, but we have these wonderful platforms like Zooms and Lives and phone calls and FaceTime and you know, so many other different platforms of which we can still be in touch with people, which we can still embrace each other. And so, you know, I get to see him on Zoom and, you know, obviously we still spend time together, but I'm also helping people establish their own health routine as well. So outside of the mindset and the emotional, you know, it's, you know, what kind of supplements can you use to boost up your immune system? So, you know, I have, here's my tray of immunity right here. And
wow, so, that was a lot of them.
it sure is, you know, and I talk with people about that. Now, I'm not a medical professional in that regard. I'm a psychotherapist, and I just share about things that I did to help me, because, you know, I did get a little bit sick, and it was scary because, you know, you're having the symptoms and you can't go to Kaiser or your local hospital because your symptoms aren't bad enough. You know, mm-hmm. That's another thing that people are really scared about is like, do I go to the hospital? Do I not go to the hospital if I'm getting sick or whatnot? But it felt really good to know that I could take my power and I could take my life and I could take my health and I could take my wellness back into my own hands and do the things that's really important for me so that I can boost up my own immune system and fight the flu or the virus or the pandemic or whatever it is, you know, and I'm really healthy and I'm really well and I'm doing great. So sometimes
you look beautiful. You look amazing. You know what I mean? Like you're glowing with health. One of the things.
Thank you.
Isn't lit young love beautiful?
Yeah, it does. It definitely helps. We definitely enjoy that. But also that the meditation every single night, you know, having the different guests on every single night, you know, maybe Edward, you would like to hold a meditation.
I was actually going to ask him after this.
Oh my gosh, it would be wonderful because we have different people sharing their meditation modalities and it's really wonderful. We did a transcendental meditation last night and then we're having a beautiful musician who is pretty famous in Las Vegas. And you know, he's doing the Santor, he's doing his 777 that just came out. We have our friend Alec, who's a wonderful flamenco guitarist, who's going to be doing a music meditation. And he just came back from Spain and he was one of the first musicians at my retreats. And then we also have our friend Rick, who is just a wonderful, great guided meditation, who will be up on the Sunday. So we have a whole lineup of people. So whoever
it sounds like it.
Yeah,
it sounds like it. And we definitely want to add, or I'll just say we, like I'm a part of it, but we definitely want to get Edward more out there. And if he can be a part of it, I think it will be great. Now, I want to go back to Derek real quick. And, you know, being in Long Beach again and the high homelessness rate, I've been reading a lot about the homeless, that they're, you know, what can we do? But how do you stay positive during this time frame? You know, everybody else talks about the Zoom and we can do this. How do you give that same hope to people?
Well, you know, a lot of times that the you just got to continue to encourage people and think positive and be positive all the time. You know, what I try to do is I try to come to them and let them know that, you know, we love you, you know, and your situation can and will get better. Yeah, you know, and I come from the faith community, and so therefore, a lot of my stuff is I have to do it in God's way. And so God tells me to believe, and it shall be done. And so that's why I try to encourage my people that I encounter, my clients, and all the people that I try to serve.
Derek, you'll remember that Jesus was a healer, and we just see the little tip of the iceberg of his healing technique. And I think Andrea would agree with that, and Amen. Many people would agree with that, is that, you know, he said, go out and do miracles, and he trained his people so that they had tools to work with. and they knew what to do.
We love Jesus. I
think that's straight from the Bible. They have things that are that take you to your resourcefulness, because the human body and the human being are just so resourceful.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. My favorite thing is the fact that the quote that I love the most out of the Bible is, according to your belief, it is done unto you. And I always reflect back at my beliefs and I always wonder, okay, are these beliefs accurate, right? Because, I might be stubborn in my ways and never experience the transformation, you know? It also said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And
we having some church up in here today. I love it. I love it. I love it. I feel the spirit move.
I'm an avid studier of the Bible.
Yeah, and then we have Nathan over here working with the churches. How do you help the churches and the organizations stay hopeful in this time, Nathan?
So we actually have a whole line of services that we do where we gather pastors from all the United States for prayer almost a daily basis, just to make sure that they're doing okay. Because that gets lost in a lot of this, is that our spiritual leaders who are pouring so much into us also need to be poured into. And there's just been this overwhelming outpouring that we've seen where we've been able to mobilize prayer and mobilize services for these leaders that are leading hundreds of thousands of people. And it's been very deep and very personal, very moving for them. And so that's one thing we do. And we have people that live all over the United States who are engaged in talking with different churches and different folks, from volunteers all the way up to senior leadership. And that's really where our heart is. And we want to see transformation. We don't lend money to churches so we can make dollars. We lend money to churches so we can see lives transformed. And that's really the core of what we do and why we do it. Amen. And for us, there's no better time than now for the church to shine, for that positive spiritual message that there is hope in the world, that there is a better day, that there is something more than ourselves out there than now. And in any of our lifetimes, there's never been a better opportunity for that to come through. And so while we enable churches to go and do that, we personally as a staff and as a team and as an organization try to do the same for the people that are leading those congregations. So that's really the secondary focus of what we do, but the primary focus of why we do our business the way we do our business.
That's an excellent point. I saw a meme the other day that someone had posted on some church page, which said, your pastor has never pastored during epidemic before, so pour into your pastor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I just got chills right now. Yeah, I like what you said, Nathan, that there's no better time than now, you know, and it's during these moments, when, fear is upon us, when, there's a lot going down, that our connection with each other and the love in our hearts can be courageous enough to really do a lot of good works amongst our people, our brethren, our family, the nation. And one little spark of humanity can go a really, really long way across denominations, you know, because love, at the end of the day, giving at the end of the day, and helping others is, even as Jesus said, love. That is the greatest thing that we can do. So I totally believe that. And I applaud everyone for doing the good work right now. Derek, I love the work that you're doing with the homeless. And, let me know in any way. I'm out here in the desert right now, even though my home base is in Long Beach. But, if it's prayers, whatever it is, if it's a 20-minute free session with somebody who has trauma, I'd love to be able to help in any way that I can.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, too, because there is something during this stay-at-home order. There is an increase in relapse amongst people that's in sober livings and transitional homes. And what can they do because I know they get into they don't have AA meetings that they can go inside. So now they have meetings online, but a lot of these people don't. don't have access or don't know how to get onto these platforms. And so what what can they do to
You're kind of cutting out. I can't really hear what you're saying. I'm sorry. You said, what can they do to not relapse?
Yes, I think we have some technical issues on Derek's part, but that, I believe, is the question that he was asking Andrea. So what I think we'll do...
This is a perfect time for me to show you.
Type it in the comments.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm gonna answer, and then I'm gonna ask Edward to have him show you what technique it is. So one of the things that somebody can do when they're suffering from addiction is finding somebody that they're accountable with. I know very well, I used to be about 4 years in an addictions facility with the people. They were teenagers at the time, but you know, and those are the people that really, they start young. Addiction starts very young. So it, and when you're homeless, you don't have your stability, you don't have your resources, either by choice or abuse or trauma or whatever reason people chose to move away from their homes, okay? But it really, at this point, it is reaching out and finding somebody to be accountable with. There's a lot of heaviness and sometimes even possession that goes in regards to somebody dealing with that amount. But if we can get outside of that, and if we can attach on to some routine, some hope, you know, whether it be prayer, a lot of the work that you're doing, but connecting with somebody who gives them a little bit more than what they're used to. They do need to get off of their addictive cycles. And so the more that they're away from a lot of those opportunities to get that. So I would encourage them to find a facility, to find a shelter, you know, to link up with an accountability partner. If they still have access to phones, calling their sponsor is really very, very important. And then there's lots of hotlines that I can link them with that they would be able to call somebody in when they're in that mindset. Because especially during these times, you know, we don't know if they're suffering with suicidality, but those are very important tools so that they can. And then I'm sure Edward's gonna share some more tools that, you know, would be helpful in regards to getting them out of that addictive mindset. So I'm going to.
So Edward's going to share that tool. Thank you, Andrea. So again, support each other. I'm sure you and Derek can have a conversation on ways that you can be of service. And you mentioned getting those numbers to people, and I think that is wonderful. Thank you. You are definitely a blessing. So Edward, what tool technique do you have for us today?
Well, this is emotional control tools. It's really simple. Everybody can put their hand up real quickly because we're all going to use them. So if you have negative emotions, and we all have negative emotions going on all day, for instance, it used to be when somebody'd cut me off in traffic, I'd be angry and I'd just pull down my little finger a little bit with the other hand. So two or three fingers, pull down the little finger. That's anger. If you hold it down and you take a deep breath and maybe you close your eyes and maybe you take a couple more deep breaths, particularly getting down into the belly, and then you let your eyes move, you'll be really deep, but the quick and easy way is just pull down your finger. Then almost always when you have anger, you also have sadness or grief. That's the ring finger. You just hold that in a fist. People often have anxiety or panic. That's the middle finger. You'd hold that in a fist. People often have fear. That's the index finger. You'd hold that. So, worry is the thumb. Now, typically, for instance, when somebody is public speaking, they'll have one of those three or all three of those. So they'll have worry, fear, and anxiety. And you always take the biggest one first, and then the next one, and then the next one. And let's say it was for public speaking. So they had fear and they had anxiety. They do that. They do that. They had worry. They do that. Then they take all three and put them together and integrate integrate all three of those emotions, you'll find that if you use it, the emotional charge on those things just drops.
I love it. I'll have to incorporate that.
Short version of it.
I love it.
In 20 minutes, I can demolish anybody's fear, anxiety. You know, oftentimes in 5 minutes, the first emotion's just completely gone. You know,
I love it. I'll have to incorporate that.
They've just taken the emotional charge off that.
Emotional charge. I love it. Is that the emotional charge move, Edward?
Well, that is one way to, you know, emotions are things that you want to have in motion. So if it's not in motion, yes, you can move it.
Move it away. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Emotional. Now, if you want to find a whole bunch more on this, I just created a Facebook page that's got tons of this stuff on it because I did almost 3 weeks of lives. And it's Edward Philip, Leader Healer CHT.
I love it. It's beautiful. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I like to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests to speak to everyone who's watching the show live, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives, and really just give a few final words on what you would like them to take away from your appearance. So again, Edward, I'm going to give you the floor briefly, give us a few final words.
Every human being has so many resources within them. The meditation that Andre and Darren were talking about, the music that we were listening to, all of those things and so many more can give you control in situations that you didn't believe you had it.
Amen. I love it. Derek, what do you have for us?
I would like our viewers to realize that there's still people out here that's still working very hard to make sure that you have the most comfortable life doing this stay-at-home work.
Wonderful. Thank you. There are people who are out there. Andrea.
I love that. My wish for everyone is for them to really guard their hearts and guard their peace. The more that we can do to stay in your own Zen place, in your own place of love and positivity, it's going to be really important for you to have that ability to empower yourself and to continue doing the good works and continue having the healthy routine and the healthy lifestyle, because it is not the end of the world. And it is not the end of the world yet. Okay. So we have a lot of opportunity to do good for ourselves and others. And, you know, we need to continue doing that until things improve, and they will improve. So just having that positive mindset is really helpful, but please feel free to reach out to me if you need counseling or you would like a holistic approach to health and wellness. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Amen. You heard it here this morning. It is not the end of the world. The world is going to go on. Daryl, what do you have for us? Am I hitting the mute?
Okay, there we go. Yeah, I kept trying to do it myself. That's the issue there. So, you know, a lot of people try to change the body, but don't work on connecting with their own soul. The stronger your connection is from your body to your soul, the stronger your immune system is going to be, the stronger the better your mental state's going to be, and the better your emotional state's going to be. And so, you know, I encourage everyone, even if they don't jump onto my group meditation, to practice a meditation. Just sit in silence and just focus on being there. And that's it. And it was the transcendental meditation I led yesterday, was just to be there, be present, and to spend your time, you know, connecting to yourself.
I love it. Just be at one with you. Love it. Nathan, what do you have for us?
I would just encourage everyone out there to take this crisis as an opportunity to make change, whether it's to get the rest you need, whether it's to heal from something, whether it's to get past a trauma in the past, or whether it's to innovate your business and your work, and to find new ways to serve and help people. This is an opportunity to do things that you've been putting off. So take this as an opportunity.
Yes, amen. We have had an excellent show today. Excellent shows this week. Plenty of guests. I love it. I want to thank all of you for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show.
Thank you, Sharifa. I really enjoyed myself, and thank you, everyone. It was lovely to meet you all and hear from you. It was really helpful.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. I want to thank everyone who tuned in, everyone who's watching the show live, as well as everyone who shared this video and people who are watching it in the archives. Please support the guests. That's why I put their websites, their bios, their information in the description so you can reach out to them after the show and find out what you can do to be of service to mankind. If you are interested in being a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit the website at AskSharifa.com and click on Be a Guest. Until Monday, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.